Well, good morning. Lucky me, my birthday fell on a Sunday. Hey, listen, I can't say this enough with this congregation, but this is one of the most generous congregations I'm aware of. I am honored and blessed to serve Christ with you. 206 kids got shoes, hoodies, and a toy, all wrapped. 64 families left here with a fully stacked Christmas dinner, each with a turkey, a ham. And then we fed them afterwards. And all of that was raised by you. All of that was donated by you. You gave Christmas to like 64 families. And I just thank you. I'm blown away by your generosity. And thank you very much. God bless you. And for all of you who worked so hard to make that happen, thank you. I don't know if I see Lisa here, but Lisa Espinosa led that whole thing. Lisa, stand up. We just want to thank you. She led that. I know she doesn't like to do that, so let's make her do it again. Would you stand? No, I'm just kidding. We won't. We are slowly working our way through a few verses here in Galatians chapter 4 in these weeks leading up to Christmas. So turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, series I've called a Galatian Christmas. Galatians chapter 4, let's pray. Father, with all the busyness, with all the distractions, zero us in. Focus us in on what really matters about this time of year. Use your word to do so this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you for all who you are and all that you've done. Our rescuer, our savior. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read through our passage again, as we've done for the last couple of weeks. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So we've talked about the timing of Christmas. Christmas came at the right time, at the fullness of the time. We've talked about the miracle of Christmas, the miraculous birth of the miracle baby. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This morning, I'd like for us to consider the mission of Christmas. What was the mission of Christmas? Why is there Christmas? You know, any good organization will have a mission statement, which is a real simple description of why the organization exists, the objectives, the goals, the priorities of an organization. At the beginning of verse 5, we have the mission statement for Christmas. Look at it. To redeem those who were under the law. Redemption is the mission of Christmas. Now, oftentimes at church, we will hear theological words like sanctification, justification, glorification, or redemption, and we'll just sort of gloss over it. We won't pause to really consider what that means. Well, this morning, I want us to just pause and really consider that word, redemption, since it describes the mission. Why Christ was born, to redeem. So consider this beautiful word, redemption, with me. And I learned some wonderful things, different ways to think about this concept that we called redemption this week as I was preparing. The Greek word for redemption is ex agorazo, to redeem, ex agorazo. Agorazo means to buy, to purchase, to make a payment. Ex, E-X, the prefix to that word, can have three different meanings. It can mean out, it can mean off, and it can mean up. So to redeem can mean to buy out, to buy off, to buy up. And I'd like you to consider each one of those meanings. First, to buy out. That meaning of redemption speaks of paying a huge price in order to bring freedom to someone. It means paying a huge sum of money in order to secure liberty for a person. To buy a slave out of slavery into freedom. Redemption. Yesterday, I shared a word with the group that had gathered for our outreach that's closely related, the word ransom. The payment of a price in order to get somebody's freedom. That's one way to think of redemption. Now, this word, ex agorazo, was used, not too frequently, but every now and then in the slave market trade of those days. You know, when this book was written, the Roman Empire was in charge, and there were lots of slaves. Slavery was very common. And they even had slave markets and slave auctions, and they would put slaves up on the auction blocks, and people would come and bid and try to buy these slaves. And just sort of put yourself in that position. Let's say you're a slave, and you're up on the bidding block, and people begin to bid for you. And you're wondering, who's going to be my master? And you're in slavery. And somebody comes forward and pays a huge sum of money for you. Nobody can possibly match. That person buys you. That person comes to you, takes you off the block, and then says, go free. I bought you, not in order to become my slave. I just bought your freedom. Can you imagine how awesome that would be? That's redemption. This huge price paid so we could go free. There's a beautiful picture of it in the Old Testament. There's a law in the Old Testament that's known as the law of the kinsman redeemer. And this was a law in the Old Testament that protected Jewish women. See, in those days, a woman was completely wrapped up in the identity of her husband. All her wealth was dependent upon her husband. The family name went in the name of the husband, not her. And so, if a woman's husband died, then if she had a son, she would fall under her son's authority. It was that type of a society. Well, what if a Jewish woman got married and her husband died before they had a son? So she's a widow without a son. Completely destitute. Big time trouble. And that's where the law of the kinsman redeemer. The law of the kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament said, in a situation like that, one of the deceased husband's brothers or close relatives had an obligation to marry her, in order to carry on the deceased husband's name and to provide for her. And the kinsman redeemer would come along and redeem that woman. There's a beautiful story about it in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. So now, Imagine a person who is in debt. I mean, you're in so much debt, you can't pay, and then you lose your job, and you're going to lose your house, and everything's going to happen. You're just in this mound of debt, and somebody comes along and pays the check, buys that out. How wonderful that would be. How freeing that would be to that person. That's redemption, to buy out. You can also think of it as a country or a nation with a very cruel dictator, with access to a very cruel military regime. And this dictator treats the people poorly, treats them like slaves, uses them, abuses them. People starve to death under that regime. Another more powerful nation finds out about it, invades them, takes out the dictator, liberates the people. That's redemption. And it comes at a very, very high price. That invading country sacrifices its own blood and its own treasure in order to liberate that people. That's redemption, to buy out. And then there's also the idea of redemption as buying off, to buy off. This means to satisfy the claims of an injured man. This means to satisfy somebody who has been truly wronged. Let's say that you've done something seriously wrong to another person. Maybe you've committed a crime against another person. You've offended another person. Maybe you've vandalized their property. Or you stole from them. You have legitimately wronged another person. And that person can take you to the cleaners. That person can lock you up. Not only can that person bankrupt you, but that person legally can see to it that you're put in jail. Punishment. And there you are. You're under that situation. To redeem means to buy off that punishment. Somebody comes along and does something so that that punishment goes away as it applies to you. And you go free. To redeem means to buy off. And then my favorite meaning for this word redeem, to buy up. This literally means to make the very most of something, to improve an opportunity, to rescue something from loss, to buy something up. It's used in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, listen carefully, redeeming the time. Did you know that time is something that can be redeemed? It can be bought up. Now, nobody has more time than anybody else. We all have the same amount of time every day, right? But there are a lot of people that squander time. There are a lot of people that spend a lot of time watching TV, playing video games, Facebook, tweet, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. And if you don't discipline yourself with those kinds of things, you will waste a lot of time. You'll lose that time. To redeem time says to stop wasting time and then begin using that time to study or to work or to do something fruitful. That's what redeem means. Buy up something. Something that has been wasted before. It gets bought up. So that it becomes more fruitful. That means to buy up. My pastor back home in Albuquerque is a big Beatles fan. He loved the Beatles. He grew up listening to the Beatles. Now, as you know, many of the Beatles songs aren't very godly. Right? Well, my pastor back home put a little band together that sounds just like the Beatles. They even took some of the Beatles songs and gave Christian lyrics to those Beatles songs. You know what they did to those Beatles songs? They redeemed them. Songs that before were used for evil purposes, made valuable, bought up. So this is the idea of redemption. Redemption means to buy out, to buy freedom. It means to buy off a penalty, a punishment. And it means to buy up, to make something that was wasted beautiful. That's why Christ came. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, to buy us out of slavery, to buy off the punishment we deserve, to buy up our lives. The Bible teaches that the human race is in a very, very dark place. The Bible teaches very clearly that the human race is a wreck. And many of us can look around and just see what's going on in this world. The Bible teaches that the human race is steeped in sin. The problem with the human race is not a lack of education or a lack of money, or the environment in which a person was raised. Those can be contributing factors to a person's life. But the primary essential problem with the human race is sin. We are born with a sinful nature. In fact, the Bible goes on to say it even stronger. We are slaves to sin. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever committed sin? Can I have? No, we won't raise our hands. Have you ever committed sin? If you have, and we all have, then Jesus says you're a slave to it. We are slaves to sin. We have a sinful nature. It controls us. It's ugly. Oh, how we need to be set free from that. The Bible teaches that there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light. There's a kingdom of darkness. All sinners apart from Christ are living in the kingdom of darkness under a cruel dictator with a powerful military regime in the spiritual places, the satanic kingdom. Oh, how we need to be bought out of that kingdom. To be moved from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. The Bible goes on to teach something very important, and that is that there is a great penalty for sin. Sin must be judged. When we sin against others and we hurt other people, but we also sin against God. Did you know that? And did you know that God is absolutely holy and there is no sin in him? He is holy and righteous and just. And in his holiness and in his righteousness, he must judge sin. Sin must be punished. The wages of sin is death, condemnation, separation from God. We deserve that punishment. In fact, look very quickly again at verse 5, the phrase that we're looking at this morning. He came to redeem those who were what? Who were under the law. Now remember, we talked about that last week. Jesus was born under the law. That means he was born under the Mosaic law. He was born as a Jew. Folks, the Mosaic law is the most detailed, rigid, moral code ever set to writing in the history of the human race. Jesus was born under that, and as we spoke about last week, he fulfilled it perfectly. We also are under the law. That doesn't mean that we're all born Jews. Understand that Paul argues in the New Testament that the law was specifically there for the Jewish nation, but the law has also been written in all of our hearts. We are all born under a moral code. God's righteous standard stands, and we're born under that. And you know what? We blow it. There's a curse associated with the law. And you know what that curse is? Death. If you don't obey it perfectly. None of us obeys the law perfectly. We're all lawbreakers. We're all sinful. We all deserve death. We desperately need that punishment bought off. Don't we? We need something to happen to where that punishment goes away. And we don't have that fearful expectation. Sin, as many of you know, also destroys people's lives. It ruins people's lives. Sin is the reason that there's crime and divorce and broken relationships and addictions and hurt and pain among people. Some of you here this morning know of a relative or a friend who you're very concerned about because they've destroyed their lives with sin. Maybe they've lost everything. They have this drug addiction. They have this issue. They have this sinful lifestyle that has literally stolen years of life from their lives. Maybe you sit here this morning and that's you. Sin has ruined your life. And you wonder, can my life be redeemed? Can anything beautiful come of my life? Can lost time be made up? Yes. Christ came to redeem. Amen? That's the whole mission of Christmas. He came to redeem. The primary issue, the primary problem with the human race is sin. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be taken away. And please understand this morning, sin does not go away automatically. Sin, God doesn't sweep sin under the carpet. God doesn't excuse you as a sinner because you're real cute. Or you're smart, or you're one of his favorite ones. No, it's across the board. Sin must be paid for. A price must be paid. The Bible says, if a perfect substitute, without sin, would be willing to take the punishment of the sinners with sin. That's the only way that sinners can be forgiven. Your sin must be punished. And the Bible says you will either be punished for your sins or Christ can take the punishment for you. And that is the whole purpose of Christmas. Jesus, born into the world, born as a baby, grew up and became a man, and went to the cross. And this incredible, dramatic transaction took place at the cross. This perfect, spotless Lamb of God took upon himself all of my sins, all of your sins, and he died in our place. He paid the price. And he rose again. The gospel says, if you will give your life to Jesus, if you will ask him to save your life, if you will ask him to be your Savior, if you will admit before him that you're a sinner, he'll redeem you because he paid the price for you. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, all of your sins are washed away. They're all gone. You become a child of God. The penalty goes away. Not because it just got hand waved away, but because your Lord died for it in your place. The Bible says that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will instantly be moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Colossians chapter 1 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, by what He did, liberates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will be freed from the power of sin. Not only will you be spared the penalty, but the Bible says that a miracle will take place in your life. You'll become born again. You'll be given the Holy Spirit. And you can now begin to walk in victory. God can break chains of addiction. God can break sinful patterns in your life. God can make you brand new so that you live a better life. And God can take any life and redeem it. He can make any life that was being used for destructive purposes and change it into something that's beautiful, profitable, healthy, strong, fruitful. The Bible says that He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He can take a life that virtually looks destroyed, that most people would give up on. He can take that life and turn it into something beautiful. He'll buy you out. He'll buy off. He'll buy up. Isn't that beautiful? In this concept called redemption, a price must be paid. And the price is very, very costly. And as we get into this Christmas week now, and as we get closer and closer to Christmas, I want you to appreciate the price that was paid for you. Think of what God did for you. God didn't come into this world to give us nice little nativity sets that we can put up on our lawns on Christmas Eve. Literally, Christ was born to die, to offer His life. Jesus leaving heaven, that's a sacrifice. Jesus becoming man, that's a sacrifice. Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins, that is the ultimate sacrifice. Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your freedom costs the precious blood of Christ. Don't forget it. Appreciate it. Don't forget how much God loves you. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down one's life for his friends. As I told the people yesterday who had gathered, somebody died for you. Don't let that become old news. Somebody died for you. God's Son died for you. I've always loved the story of this little boy named Kai. There was an orphanage near an American Marine base in Vietnam. And one day the Viet Cong fired mortar shells into the orphanage, killing dozens of children and wounding many more. A boy named Kai had a seriously wounded friend who needed a blood transfusion. Kai's friend had a rare blood type, and only Kai's blood matched it. Little Kai had never heard of a blood transfusion. But when the American doctors explained it would save his friend's life, little Kai volunteered. As the blood began to flow from Kai to his friend, Kai began to whimper. When the doctors asked if it hurt, he said no. A little later, he whimpered again. Does it hurt? He said no. The doctors asked, "What's wrong, Kai?" And with tears coursing down his light brown, dusty cheeks, Kai asked, "When am I to die, sir? When am I to die?" You see, little Kai didn't know that you only give a little blood. He thought you gave it all, and he was willing to do so for his little friend. Christ gave it all for you to make you free, to pay the price, to redeem your life. Don't forget what's been done. Consider the sacrifice of God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Could you give your son? You know, if one of you were sick and your life could be saved if I could give my life for you, I might do that. It would depend how nice you've been to me over the years. But you got to think, that would be really, really hard, wouldn't it? Especially imagine giving your life for someone who's been your enemy, someone who's treated you poorly. Did you know that Jesus died for you as an enemy? You were a sinner. You didn't deserve it. So I might offer my life. But let's say the only way to save your life would be for me to sacrifice the life of one of my sons. Could you do that, Dad? If that were the only way to save your life, if I had to sacrifice one of my sons, I think that I'm probably going to be doing your funeral service. Sorry. I can't imagine sacrificing my son, and yet that's what God did for you. That price was paid so that you could go free. Christian, remember that. Rejoice in that. Don't forget about that this time of year. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For you, Christian, were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's property. God bought you. Your life, your body, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ. He purchased you. He redeemed you. Live for him. Surrender to him. If you're here this morning and you've never received him, I invite you to receive him. Receive the gift. Ask Jesus to be your Savior this morning. Don't get distracted by all the things that you see going on. Don't let another Christmas go by without receiving the gift, without understanding the true meaning of Christmas. Don't get distracted by all the things of this world. So many people live only for this world, and this world is headed for judgment. Somebody said, living for this world is like spending your whole life constantly rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Think about that. Ask Christ. Let him redeem you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we are blown away by the price that was paid. by the cost of salvation. We're blown away by everything that we learned about this year, how you picked just the right time and the miracle of sending your son. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for paying the price that we could not possibly have even begun to buy, to pay. Lord, for your people, my prayer is that we would not lose sight of that this week in these celebrations, and that we would make that beautiful truth known to other people in our lives. My prayer also is for anyone here this morning, Lord, who's never received you, to do so right now. Has God redeemed your life? Have you invited Christ to be your Savior? Maybe you're that person who thinks, oh, my life, I've blown it. I've wasted so much time. Can anybody forgive me? Can anybody change me? Absolutely, Christ can. He'll forgive you. He'll wash away all your sins. He'll make you a brand new creation. Receive him. Pray this prayer with me if you've never done so. You ask Christ to be your Savior. Say, Lord, I receive you right now. I open my heart wide for you. Come into my life. Redeem me. Free me. Make me your child. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the price for me. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take over. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand.